Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. But first, let's pray. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the reading of the Scriptures, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading on this Resurrection Sunday is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the NIV. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the woman, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. May God bless his word to us this Easter Sunday and always. The resurrection means Jesus triumphs. He triumphs over death, sin, and the works of darkness, even the devil himself. He comes as the triumphant conqueror to set right in creation everything that has been defaced, deformed, and destroyed by the effects of sin, so that it will finally come to pass that the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, so that he will reign forever and ever. And the resurrection guarantees it. Sin is paid for. Death is defeated. Satan's already restricted influence will finally come to an end. These are things that the resurrection points to at the future return of Jesus. Now, as we consider the Gospel of Luke, there are at least two things which stand out fairly clearly in our text. Firstly, it seems that the last thing on the minds of Jesus' disciples was the resurrection. How do we know this? Because the woman had prepared spices for his burial, which had been a rather hurried affair late on Friday, to get all the bodies out of the way before the Sabbath began. In the minds of all the disciples, Jesus was dead. For all intents and purposes, their hopes and dreams had died with the man from Nazareth on the cross at the place of the skull. And it's not hard to understand, since death, especially the death of Jesus, what with his body in the condition it was after his crucifixion, made it even more difficult to entertain him being made alive. What would that even look like? All that remained was for them to take care of their dearly beloved friend, teacher, and servant of God, who had been like a prophet among them, who had performed many miracles in God's name before them, who had inspired so many with parables that spoke of the kingdom of God and how precious God's salvation was, who had in word and deed clearly communicated God's love, his nature, and his forgiveness, telling them of God's coming kingdom reign. They were not thinking of resurrection because it was the woman only who went to the grave in the dark of the new day, the first day of the week, our Sunday. No men were with them. If the disciples were anticipating a resurrection, they would have all gone to visit the tomb to see what the third day might bring. They were not really anticipating a resurrection because of the reaction the woman get from the other disciples when they deliver the news that Jesus had risen from the dead. It's just nonsense to them. But, as had happened to the woman, who were reminded of the words of Jesus by the angelic beings, in Peter's heart and mind, some of what Jesus had said to his disciples many times about his death and him being raised from the dead began to gain traction. So he goes to the tomb and looks inside, only to see the strips of linen lying by themselves. From there he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The second thing that stands out clearly in our text is this. In a wonderful way, Jesus affirms women. Women have always been stalwarts in the Bible, the ones who remain while many of the men manage to make a fine mess of things. Yet, the Old and New Testament record shows women ranking as second-class citizens. A woman's testimony had no standing in Middle Eastern culture, including Israel. So it is no surprise that their words seemed like nonsense. Other versions say their words seemed to them like an idle tale. In the beginning, in Genesis, in a newly created garden, a woman found herself in trouble with her Creator. Now, on Easter Sunday, in a different garden, women are embraced and affirmed by their Creator and are commissioned to carry the resurrection story to the rest of the disciples. As we draw to a close then and think of the empty tomb, we know that it is unlikely that the body of Jesus would have been stolen by his disciples in order to make the claim that Jesus had risen from the dead. The Gospels are clear that the disciples were in deep shock at the loss of their beloved teacher and leader. In fact, they were stupefied at the news that the tomb was empty. Besides, Matthew chapter 27 verse 62-63 tells us that a guard was placed at the tomb by the authorities to avoid that very thing from happening. We also know that it is unlikely that the Jewish authorities would steal the body of Jesus. They did not want to provide the disciples with proof for a resurrection narrative to begin circulating among the followers of Jesus. And finally, we know it is unlikely that the Roman authorities took the body of Jesus. The last thing they needed was a very upset Jewish leadership who had already implied that Pilate was not doing a good job. They certainly did not want the one who had been labeled as an upstart, claiming to be the king of the Jews, to go missing. It would not bode well for the Romans to be stoking a fire that would be hard to control. No, instead, we have a resurrection account that the whole church's existence depends on. The New Testament abounds with the resurrection story and what that means for us as the church. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul is adamant about the importance of the full bodily resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, to a body that was unlike any ordinary human body, yet still human, glorified and fitted out for eternity. Paul, defending the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, says this in verse 14, 17, and 19. "And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we have nothing to preach, and you have nothing to believe. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is a delusion, and you are still lost in your sins. If our hope in Christ is good for this life only and no more, then we deserve more pity than anyone else in all the world. Why? Because, said Paul, we have given up our lives for the sake of Christ and the gospel, and in the process been cast out, persecuted, mocked, and beaten for this faith. But, said Paul, Christ had in fact been raised bodily from the dead. And so their present struggles faded in the glory of the assurance of the resurrection and eternal life. Thus, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, Jesus is the one man through whom death has been overcome by his resurrection, leading us to life everlasting. Because of the resurrection, two things are assured. Firstly, we can know for certain that our sins are forgiven. The resurrection is the single event that validates the atoning nature of the death of Jesus on the cross. If he had simply died on the cross and then been buried, how would we possibly know that our sins would be forgiven? The resurrection of Jesus is God's assurance that those who place their trust in him will not be put to shame. Secondly, we are assured of eternal life as those resurrected from the dead. For, said Paul in our Corinthian passage in verse 26, the last enemy to be defeated will be death. So what does the resurrection mean? In a word, that Jesus triumphs. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you said, because I live, you too shall live, for you are the resurrection and the life. We thank you that we can hold on to your promises, for we believe in the one who died, was buried, and rose again on a day such as this. Because of your resurrection, we can know that our sins are thoroughly dealt with. Because of your resurrection, we are able to serve you in newness of life. And so help us, we pray, to do just that. In your mighty name, amen. And God bless you.